Why do bad things happen? Bad things, meaning whatever makes us ask the question, whether the tragedy is huge as the Holocaust or as personal as the death of a child, whatever produces the agonizing question of why demands some answer. Chazal say that when we suffer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaveyochol, suffers too. Perhaps part of his suffering is his knowing that, for whatever reason, he cannot tell us the answer in this life. The questions themselves are as old as Klal Yisrael. Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu asked, why do some tzaddikim suffer? Why do some rishoyim prosper? Even he struggled with the question. At Yitzias Mitzrayim, our ancestors sang Hallel, thank you, Hashem, for the Nisim. But they also left graves in Mitzrayim, brothers and sisters beaten to death by taskmasters, babies drowned in the Nile. How were those Yidden able to sing Hallel? We know they also asked why bad things happen, because one opinion in Chazal is that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a sefer, a philosophical novel exploring the problem of tragedy, and that is Sefer Iyov. The questions had to be dealt with, and in every generation, we must deal with them anew. One starting point is in the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Sha'aboy rei yizbarach shemoy goy mil toiv l'shoymri mitzvoysov, u'man nish lo'ivri mitzvoysov, that the Creator gives reward to those who keep his mitzvahs and punishes those who transgress. Some of us may be very uncomfortable with the idea of reward and punishment, and we have to study how it works, but it is part of the Torah. Rambam adds, the main place for reward and punishment is Olam Haba. But we find punishment also in this world, the destruction of Sodom, the Mitzrim drowning in the Yamsuf, many cases. So it does appear that suffering can result from sin, and many statements say this. But does that mean that all suffering comes from sin? Does it imply that Holocaust victims were sinners, chas v'shalom? Certainly not. Chazal tell a story. Rabbi Tarfon had 400 barrels of wine that turned sour, a financial disaster. Chaverim said, perhaps you should do teshuvah from some wrongdoing? Rabbi Tarfon asked, do you suspect me of wrongdoing? They replied, do you suspect the Kodesh Baruch Hu of wrongdoing, to punish without cause? It seems to say even tzaddikim suffer only because of sin. But Tosfos says this is not so. Tosfos writes, Harbei tzaddikim is yasrim begufim u'mainam. Many tzaddikim have suffering without sin. Tosfos therefore explains that in this particular case, they knew Rabbi Tarfon had done something they thought was wrong, and this was their way of hinting at it. But otherwise, tzaddikim can suffer, even without sin. However, Tosfos does not explain how he answers the Gemara's question. Do you suspect HaKadosh Baruch Hu of wrongdoing to punish without cause? If not sin, then why? Another Gemara says, if suffering comes, yefashvesh b'maisov, examine your deeds, if there's something to repent from. Loi motzo, if you're so perfect without sin, heve yisurim sho'avo, then these are special sufferings of love. This seems to imply that if you're not totally righteous, then your suffering is caused by sin. But there are problems with this. At the first Pesach, Yidden were told to stay indoors all night, because with the plague striking the firstborn Mitzrim, even Jews could be killed. As Chazal say, once permission is given to destroy, it makes no distinction between one person and another. So the Gemara seems to say, Jews could die in a plague not because of sin, but because they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. It also says Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Rishoyim, but Tzaddikim also died because they were in the city at the time. So suffering is not always the result of one's own sin. If so, why do Chazal say to react to calamity by examining my deeds to repent? Maybe I suffered because I was stuck in the wrong place. When Talmid Chachomim speak of the Holocaust, they often say that we cannot understand why it happened, but we know Hashem does not forsake us, and we look forward to Moshiach and the Geula. But one of my Rebbeim, Zichron Levracha, said differently. He said that by 1940, many thousands of European Jews had abandoned the Torah, and he believed the Holocaust should be viewed as divine retribution for national disloyalty, as predicted in Chumash. Of course, it's not for me to decide these issues, but I believe this approach of divine punishment cannot be the whole answer. And of course, Holocaust survivors cannot begin to accept such an answer. But I once spoke with the well-known mechanech, Rabbi Joseph Elias, and I said, in the 1930s, great Rabbonim wrote, the rise of Hitler, Yimach Shemoy, was divine punishment for our sins, and they called for teshuvah. Doesn't that prove my Rebbe was right? Rabbi Elias said, yes, Rabbonim did write this way before the war, but after the war, no great Rav wrote such things. At the time, I did not understand his answer. If in 1939 they said that Hitler came because of sin, did they change their minds? Isn't it more likely they still felt the same way, but they knew people would not accept it, and that's why they were silent? Rabbi Elias did not agree. And today I think I understand him a little better, because we find the same approach to calamity in the words of Yeshaya HaNovi. Yeshaya prophesied before the Chorban. He also prophesied about the period after the Chorban. In prophecies before the Chorban, he said, Goy choyte, worse than Sodom. You deserve everything you get. But the same Novi, in prophecy for after the Chorban, he said, Nachamu, Nachamu, comfort. Comfort my people who have suffered more than their share. Yeshaya HaNovi, like Rabbonim of the 30s and 40s, spoke one way before the tragedy and differently after the tragedy. And both ways are Dvar Hashem. What does this mean? One more question. Sefer Iyov has 24 prokim exploring different reasons for suffering. Maybe it's punishment, or maybe the world is run by mazel and other ideas. Finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself speaks to Iyov and says, where were you when I created the world? Do you think you can understand my plan? And Eli says, Hashem, you're right. I apologize for complaining. I accept that I cannot understand. So the correct answer seems to be that Hashem is so far above us that we cannot fathom his mind. And that's that. But if so, why are all the other prokim in Sefer Eoiv recorded? Why include useless pages if the true explanation is that we cannot explain? So, to sum up our questions. One, why do bad things happen? Two, why do Chazal say to respond to suffering by looking for sin when the Gemara and Tosfos make clear people sometimes suffer not because of sin? Three, why did Nevi'im warn that we would deservedly be punished, and then when it happened, they consoled us with words that seemed to contradict the earlier teaching? And finally, four, if the true answer is that we cannot understand, why record all the explanations in Sefer Iyov? And why do Chazal give explanations like suffering because of sin or Yisurim Shalavo? Those are our four questions. And the answer to them is, the answer is two more questions. One, Rambam writes that some rabbis taught that mitzvahs have no reasons, only the will of Hashem. Rambam himself disagreed. He wrote that every mitzvah contains some ethical teaching. My question is, what did the other rabbonim think? How could they believe that mitzvahs have no reason? And question two, Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim offers reasons for many mitzvahs, but some of his reasons seem sort of trivial, chas v'sholom. He explains one mitzvah as being a protest against the practice of ancient idol worshippers, even though those idols no longer exist. He seems to say that certain kashrus laws are because they make you healthy, as if Torah was just a book of nutrition. Gedolei Olam sharply criticized Rambam for these explanations, but Rambam was a giant among giants. Why did he write those things? So, how could some chachomim say that mitzvahs have no reasons? And why do some of Rambam's reasons appear to be insufficient explanation for mitzvah Hashem? And the answer is, the distance between a Kodesh Baruch Hu and us is so infinite that we cannot begin to comprehend his thoughts at all. My thoughts are not your thoughts, meaning we are not in the same league, not the same universe. You cannot explain physics or algebra to a baby who can barely talk. And therefore, to try to explain to little us why Hashem does what he does, the only correct response is, don't be silly. The question is ludicrous. And therefore, Chachamim who differed with Rambam and said that mitzvahs have no reasons, they meant, surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu has reasons. But do we think we can discover what those reasons are? We know each mitzvah is the Ratzon Hashem. It's the divine will. And each mitzvah has its own Kedusha. But the mechanics? How a particular mitzvah creates Kedusha? Or why Hashem commanded one mitzvah and not another? Those matters human beings cannot know. Rambam's position is, he agrees. Certainly, the mind of Hashem is beyond our ken. But even so, Hashem desires that we study the mitzvahs to discover certain insights, to learn lessons from them to improve ourselves. Any particular insight or lesson in a mitzvah is not the only reason for the mitzvah, and not even the main reason, but it is also a reason. Any lesson the mitzvah teaches was put there by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us to learn. For instance, what is the reason for kashrus? The only answer is because Hashem said so. We cannot know his thoughts. But if we see how kashrus gives training in self-discipline, if shechita reminds us not to be cruel to animals, if kashrus keeps us from mixing with others and prevents intermarriage, then surely all this was included in the purpose for which Hashem said, keep kosher. It is not the main reason, and perhaps not really a reason at all, but as a lesson or an inspiration. On that level, all these so-called reasons are true, and they are for us to learn. In looking for lessons in mitzvahs, different ideas appeal to different generations. At one time, people could relate to the idea of kashrus as self-discipline, more than kindness to animals. Today, when animal rights are popular and self-discipline is less so, the kindness to animals explanation is more in vogue. Today's explanations often include ideas from the Kabbalah, because Kabbalah is more in fashion than it once was. This also explains why some of Rambam's reasons appear trivial, chas v'sholom. Rambam agrees the true meaning of a mitzvah is only the Kedusha Hashem gave it for his own reasons. But if we are searching for some insight that we can understand, there's nothing wrong with pointing out that a mitzvah also has a health benefit. Nothing wrong, as long as we remember that this reason is just icing on the cake, a useful insight that has nothing to do with the true reason, the ultimate reason of Hashem. By way of analogy, when we see another person, we are really seeing the light refracted off that person, not the person himself. And we see the stars, but it's only an image of light that began its journey years ago, not the reality as it is today. But for our purposes, those images of light are good enough. In the same way, even if we cannot know a mitzvah's ultimate meaning, as long as we know it's from Hashem, and we pull out whatever lesson it can teach us, that's all we need to know. And that is the Ratzon Hashem. Now you might ask, what keeps us from learning the wrong lessons? For instance, since fasting on Yom Kippur is a mitzvah, could we conclude that Hashem wants his people to suffer? The answer is of course not, because the mitzvah in itself, with no context, teaches very little. But after learning enough to understand the Yesodos, the Torah's moral and ethical foundations, we can then study each mitzvah to be inspired by its application of Torah principles we already know. For instance, the Gemara says, the Amora, Rav, once sat down to a meal of venison, deer meat, and Shmuel happened to drop by. Shmuel was also well-versed in science, and from the appearance of the meat, Shmuel was afraid it might be poisoned. He suggested a test, and it turned out the meat was poisoned, and Shmuel's wisdom saved Rav's life. Rav said, in this incident, I see an inspiring illustration of a pasuk in Sefer Daniel called Roz Loyonesle. To the man of God, all wisdom is revealed. This is exemplified by you, Shmuel, and your wisdom that saved my life. Shmuel said, in this incident, I see an illustration of a different pasuk in Tehillim. Lo yuuna letzadik kol oven. Hashem guards the tzadik, as he protected you, Rav, that no harm should befall you. Rav and Shmuel were both correct. Both lessons could be learned from this incident where Shmuel's wisdom saved Rav's life. But it would not help Rav, it wouldn't benefit Rav to remind himself what a tzadik he is. So he used the incident to be inspired by the wisdom Hashem had granted to Shmuel. To Shmuel, it would not benefit him to think about how wise he is, so he used the incident to be inspired by the protection Hashem gave Rav in bringing Shmuel there in the nick of time. Our job is to examine each day in the light of the Torah, to discover what inspiration it can offer us. Whatever true lesson we can derive, that is the lesson for us to accept. Now, with this in mind, let's return to our original four questions. Why do bad things happen? Why do Chazal say suffering should lead to teshuva if not all suffering is due to sin? Why did Nevi'im threaten punishment and then change their tone when punishment came? And why does Sefer Iyov record reasons for tragedy if HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself tells Iyov that we cannot understand? The answer, based on all we've said, is we do not know the reasons why Hashem brings tragedy because we do not know the reason why Hashem does anything. We don't know the true reason for any mitzvah or anything else. To comprehend HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind is beyond us. We can only seek to discover what lessons will help us in our own lives. Hashem told Iyov, you cannot know the answers. But the discussions in Sefer Iyov are valuable because they give some insight to help us face tragedy and take something from it. And perhaps not all suffering comes from sin. But if tragedy strikes, Chazal say, use it as a push to repent. Because if tragedy inspires you to teshuva, that's a proper utilization of the experience for good. In the 1930s, Rabbonim, many of whom later perished in the Holocaust, they said the threat of Hitler is a divine warning to repent. But after the Holocaust, when talking about teshuva made no sense to the survivors, when that lesson became impossible to learn, then Rabbonim spoke nechama, words of comfort, just as Yeshaya Hanovi did. Each lesson is true. Which one to learn depends on who we are and when in our lives we are learning it. Finally, to return to our original question, why do bad things happen? The answer is, we know Hashem is in charge and that Hashem feels for us, but we cannot know his thoughts and we cannot know his why about anything. Instead, we must ask, what can I pull out of this experience? Is there any comfort or inspiration or warning that will help me live my life as a Jew? Different people may learn different lessons, but if our learning is based on Torah Kedosha, then every tragic event has some meaning and will add something of value to our lives. A psychiatrist, a very secular person, wrote a book on the subject of reincarnation and the soul, subjects most people never think about. But this psychiatrist, he did think about them, because he had a son, a little boy, who died. And that tragedy opened up his mind to look beyond everyday materialism. A man gets cancer, and it brings him to learn to love the beauty of each day, one day at a time. People pray in hospitals. They come to shul to say Kaddish. And coming for Kaddish sometimes leads to a rediscovery of Judaism. Do we say the reason the man's father died was in order to get his son to shul, to reconnect with Yiddishkeit? No, we cannot say that. But we can say that one purpose, one facet of the tragedy is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used it to bring the son back to where he belongs. Hashem's reason for the Holocaust, we cannot know. Lessons we can learn from the Holocaust, to suggest just a few. The Holocaust reminds us that Western culture is a myth. It shows how science can be used for sadistic experiments, and lovers of German poetry can torture little children. Whoever studies the role of the churches in the Holocaust will never be fooled by missionaries claiming to preach a religion of love. Or the Baal Teshuva movement, thousands of young people from non-observant homes who come to Torah. Nothing quite like this ever happened before. And the Panovitcher Rav Zichrono Livracha said, Hitler Yimach Shemai killed more than 1 million children. And those children came to the Eibishter and they said, Tata, Father in heaven, we never had a chance to learn Torah. And the Eibishter said, you are right. I will have to send you back down to be born again. And you will be the inspired souls who will be drawn to Torah on your own. Does the Holocaust demonstrate that abandoning Torah leads to destruction? Did European Jews rebel against Yiddishkeit? And was Hitler divine retribution? If, after learning Torah and studying history, if that lesson makes sense to you, then learn it. If not, then find another. Above all, tragedy is a reminder that each day is so precious, and also that this life is surely not all there is. Surely there awaits us a better world where justice is done and tzaddikim receive their reward. The ovel, the mourner, often comes to feel a special closeness to Hashem. And all who mourn the Holocaust, we can all come to feel that closeness if we try. There are many lessons in every event. Once we accept that we cannot fathom Hashem's reasons, but instead we search for useful lessons, we can find ways to relate to tragedy. And we can also find ways, the same way, ways to celebrate simchas. We rejoice on Yom Tov, and we mourn on Tisha B'Av. even though the cause for our yomtiv joy is present all year round, and the cause of our tisha b'av sorrow is also present all year round. It's not easy to change from simcha today, avelus tomorrow, and a happy medium in between. But that is all part of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lived one day at a time, not to know the ultimate why, but to ask what we can take from this day, each day with its own unique treasure to discover and to grasp. As we say in the Psukim in Hallel, Zehayoyim Oso Hashem, Nogilam V'nismuchavoy, this is the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. Let us rejoice in it. And some translate, this is the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. Let us rejoice in Him. To rejoice in the day and in the Borei Olam who made the day. Because seizing the lesson of today, this moment, is how we rise above the sorrow of tragedy to take meaning from it and be able to go on to sing Hallel in this world and in the next.